Welcome to the Draw.Biz Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
Welcome to the Draft Doctors, your home of AFL Fantasy and Supercoach Draft all year round. March Madness is done and dusted. The AFL has kindly scheduled in a week purely so we can smash out our drafts. I'm Doss, and with me is a man who loves his March Community Series. It's Stevie Fears. Welcome.
It's my favourite time of the year, Doss. G'day, listeners. And look, it's Baby Fizz's birthday, so everyone pour... No, wait, not pouring out. That means she's dead. No, raise a glass to Baby Fizz on her birthday. And yeah, draft weekend coming up. I'm actually really pumped because that means I can put the tools down and go to sleep.
Happy birthday, Baby Fizz. That's some great stuff. All right, Cam, you ready for your draft? You've already had your draft about 8 months ago, but you still came for the weekend anyway?
Yeah, pumped to see all the results from the drafts on the weekend. And you know what? More pumped that when I drafted 5 Freo players, none of them got coronavirus. So fantastic result from that test.
Awesome. All right. Well, we will get into our wrap up of the, what was it? It was the second March Community Series week, but the third week, if that makes sense, because there was some weird stuff going on. So we'll get into our wrap up of that in a sec. Just remember, we do have our draft kit available for the draft this week if you are drafting, and check out the mock site as well. Check that out, thedraftdoctors.com.au. All our ranks are there as well, so that's for free. Check the ranks there and help you out on draft day. All right, we'll just get into the things we notice and we'll go game by game again, and we'll start with the Adelaide Gold Coast game. I think, Steve, you checked that one out.
Yeah, lifelong Suns fan, always going to be on top of that game. And wasn't it great to see Toby Green smash it out again? I'm sorry, I meant Darcy McPherson, because he doesn't need a centre bounce and he is... Whew, he is just pumping out some massive scores in the March series, and fucking hell, it's pretty unbelievable. I really didn't see it coming. I sort of thought he'd be, you know, good, but I didn't think he'd be warranting pretty high considerations. So, I mean, I probably won't end up with him anywhere because I'm still nervous as hell, but you've got to be impressed with what he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, I would have hated to have written a Burn Man article on the Herald about Darcy McPherson, but here we are. It's aged terribly in within a week, Steve. But no, it still could go either way. I think what we saw last year, though, was when we were doing CBAs, he struggled when he didn't get the CBAs, but this preseason, he's just blown it out of the park. What's different, Steve?
Well, all I'd say so far is that they've played a Geelong who didn't care, and a Adelaide who are probably looking like they're on the bottom half of the draw. But I think that they were so far behind the other teams in terms of where they were statistically that maybe they're just going to be with the other teams statistically. And you know, that should be better across the board. But there's not many fantasy points being scored by other players in that forward line sort of thing. So maybe he's just soaking it all up.
Interesting. Steve, I'm surprised you held out on the Brody Smith victory lap this long, but do you want to take it away?
Well, and again, it's not, there's no victory laps, it's freaking Marsh series, but I had him at D2 in the ranks all preseason, and he is absolutely killing it, Brody Smith. Mid time, wing time, just absolutely knocking it out of the park. He's back to full fitness. So I'd expect him to be a really good player, and people are picking him up at a good price in draft, so really like that. Someone who has gone into defense can't be good for the hashtag brand, Dossy. Braden Goderini behind the ball. You've got to use those elite foot skills.
Yeah, it was pretty rough scenes from old the GOAT back there with 57 fantasy, 39 super coach in the game, and played decent time on ground as well, but do you see that continuing? Or, I mean, you guys have always been talking, you think he'll be in the NEFL this year. I do not buy that for a second. But where do you think Fiorini lies within the best 22 at the moment? And do you think this was just a bit of Marsh madness playing him down back?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, the Suns are one of those teams who are just going to experiment frequently during the season. So whether he's behind the ball, whether he's wing, whether he's coming off the interchange bench and filling a role, no matter what that is. You know, obviously we've been down on him, obviously been a great scorer in the past, but as that side gets better, I'm wary about the Goderini. Someone else who's been in and out through form and injury, got some decent game time, got a good role, and that's Will Brody. And we know he's got the scoring pedigree. The question remains, is this the year he puts it together? I think he's absolutely worth a flyer at the back end of your draft. How that turns out over the season, I can't say. I don't think anyone can with any sort of great certainty. If you like him, sure, grab him. If you don't, miss. And just one last thing. I think we got carried away with the Hugh Greenwood hype. Well, some people certainly did. There was a lot of salary cap teams get around Hugh Greenwood. And I think this week shows a clearer picture of the type of player Hugh Greenwood is. Not that he's a bad player or anything. He's obviously very good at what he does. So he's still got a heap of mid-time. But 13, so he had 16 disposals, 13 contested possessions. That's Hugh Greenwood. That's what I was really worried about. It wasn't a drubbing. It was a closer game. He really struggles to find the uncontested ball. So that's kind of my fears about Hugh Greenwood. Maybe the truth's in the middle. But this is a game that probably reflects where the Suns are a little bit more accurately. So, yes, Greenwood has some upside. Yes, it looks like he has a good role, but he has his limitations as a player.
Yeah. Was there any other players there? A couple of guys that sort of popped up on the radar that were a little bit on the radar, but not really, is like someone like a Paul Seedsman turning up in AFL Fantasy. Does that excite you at all?
It's just classic Seedsman. I mean, it's really interesting because the game's gone so mark heavy. Mm.
And he was good at the tail end of the year with that role as well. Was he playing more wing in this one?
Oh, he was just, you know, he's obviously just an outside player, but if Brody Smith maybe getting more inside time and Miller can't pick up the slack, you know, sure, why not Seedsman?
Yeah, and
what about the young guy, Jack Lukosius? Yes. Looked super good, I thought.
Yeah, again, it's just, like, he looks great. Like, there's no doubt about it. It's just, they're just that team. Like, where does Lockie Weller play? Where does Jack Bowes play? Where does, like, we can sort of know what Lukosius is going to do. It's pretty hard to do what we want it, like, for him to be relevant in that role in your second season, I would have thought. I mean, we know he's a super, super talent coming out. You can take him. Like, I'm not going to say don't, but I just have so many questions with Gold Coast, and I think it's going to change week to week. Mm. You know, I mean, where does Harbrow play? Where does Hanley play if these guys are fit? Like, it's just, there's so much going on. Just a great time to be a lifelong Suns fan.
And the role Weller's playing is inside mid, and as we know, the Suns did win the Weller trade. Just one last one quickly. Is Bryce Gibbs at all back in the calculations after? Did he play a little bit better in this one, or is it still just no deal? As a DPP chance, apologies.
Yeah, I'm not about it, to be honest. Just out. Oh. Just out.
All right, we'll move on then to the Hawks Demons. Cam, you check this one out.
Yeah, I think we're starting to almost see a bit of a continuation of trends from last year with both teams, in that they really struggle when looking for a clean ball inside 50. And it means that defenders actually score quite well against both teams. And you saw in this game specifically Hibbert going 115 AFL Fantasy and a bit more of a stanky 82 Supercoach. Sicily went 106 and 95. Harry Morrison went 89. Stephen May went 97, 98. James Harms 92, 97. Like, pretty big numbers from a defense side of things. And it sort of played into their hands a bit more as well, because there were 64 clangers from each team. So I think their use of the ball, and it is just preseason, so we can't expect that they'll be that terrible going in, hopefully, to the real season, but their ball movement was terrible and their inside 50 entries are terrible. You might be looking to stream defenders versus Hawks and Melbourne. Melbourne wingers, I thought, were, you know, they kind of haven't had them before. Like, their wingers before have been sort of Alex Neil Bullen a couple of years ago. Bailey Fritch played wing a little bit, but not really known wingers. Now that they've got Tomlinson and Langdon, like, you look at the scoring potential for those two. Tomlinson went 130 and Langdon close to 100. It's not like they're going to do that every single game, and I probably wouldn't be changing my draft order next week to accommodate those scores. But I think it's interesting that now that they've got the outside runners locked down, just how useful they can be to the team. And they may be 90s scorers for the year. And for Tomlinson, you'll probably get him on the like your last bench pick, I think. And then finally, Viney. Man, he looks good. He looks really good. I know we've like called him a jag on the pod before, but he's looking better than a jag. He's looking, you know, fit. His feet don't look to be hindering his performance. And he was the best midfielder on the field. Way better than Clayton Oliver, way better than Gus, way better than Petrarca. And across the March series, he scored better than all three. So I think there's a chance that, you know, Viney as a bench pick ends up being a very fieldable midfielder.
Yeah, he's been a guy that I've been cool on. I'm pretty sure Steve and Jono have been higher on Viney, or in a sense higher than me anyway, on Viney this preseason. But he certainly showed a bit in the preseason at least.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, Clayton did have a bit of a knee injury as well, I think. He copped a knock to the knee and had it re-strapped and all that sort of stuff mid-game. Could have contributed to a better role for Viney, but I just think he's going to be good this year.
Now, I got a couple of questions out of this game too, Cam, but was there any other players that you want to touch on?
No, that's probably about it. I mean, Petrarca, if you thought he wasn't going to have ups and downs, you're probably watching the wrong Petrarca. So him coming down didn't really... It's not a surprise. And you're drafting him for that ceiling now, I think, and being okay with the floor.
Now, Gus Brayshaw, just want to touch on him. Obviously, a bit injured this preseason with an elbow. Seemed to, I believe he was in the calculations for CBAs there. I haven't checked that in, but he was in there, and that's exactly what we want. So, were you impressed with his display? Obviously, the score, 81 fantasy, 90 super coach in just 72% time on ground. That's positive signs, I'd say, heading into draft season. But then again, he did drop about two 150s last preseason. So, do we believe it, Cam? What's going on?
Yeah, I kind of do. So their main three that they rolled through the CBAs were Clayton Oliver, Angus Brayshaw, and Petrarca. And so Viney came in substitute for them, but he would start either in the 50 defensive or forward and run into the mid, or from the wings and run into the mid. Seeing those three in there, and you know, I actually own all three in my home league, got me pretty excited. But then seeing the scores that they produced that week got me a little bit worried that maybe it's too many mouths to feed.
Viney had more than Brayshaw,
more CBAs. Okay, well, that's good to know, Steve. Thanks.
Cam, one player that I'd be keen late in drafts is Harry Morrison taking over the role from Blake Hardwick, just potentially for the early goings of the season, maybe even just streaming for the first. Well, I mean, Blake Hardwick's out for quite some time. So did you like his role across halfback? He is available as a forward, mid-forward this year for us in draft.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, especially with Mitch Lewis going down the forward line. There's maybe a little bit of Sicily owners might be a little bit concerned that maybe Sicily swings forward, which gives Morrison even more run at the ball in defence. Could be pretty interesting. But I thought his role as is pretty serviceable, and you've probably got him for 10 weeks. Maybe hold him for 5 and then flick him on in a trade, sell him high.
Yeah. Your final verdict on two matchups here. What do you think the Warple-Titchell, what's your final verdict on the Warple-Titchell dynamic?
I think it's fine. Warple just needs to learn how to hit a target. Titchell seems to be going in and under and distributing to Warple for the kick. So Warple will probably get a pretty good kick to handball ratio by the end of the day, which shouldn't affect his scoring. I think it will probably offset the loss of disposal.
And the final verdict on Segler McAvoy. What did you see in this game? We actually saw McAvoy play this game last time he had the cork. What's your feeling? Gut feel.
McAvoy, gross. Segler only played against, you know, half a ruck. You know, I think Gorn basically sat out the second half of the game. So I kind of, you know, you didn't get a really good read. Segler scored really well in the second half.
All righty.
Fucking hell. I've just gone into a draft. They've just started the draft on me.
All right. Well,
live drafting with Stevie Fizz.
I had picked. I've got pick two. I got Brody Grundy.
What?
Ooh. Yeah. I'll keep you posted. I'll keep the listeners posted about what happens.
Very nice.
Well, it's, you know, you're allowed to pick who you damn well want.
Go for it. Power Dogs, Power versus the Bulldogs onto me, and I'll discuss some of this now. I think, Cam, you might have seen a bit of this game too, so I'll swing back and forth. I was on the froth that night, so might be a bit hazy. But Tim English, he looked pretty good. I think we're both on the same page. They looked really good. But he was up against Lysette for about 40% of the game, West off for a lot of the rest of the game. Can we take a lot out of his big score? I think the big takeaway was obviously the eye test was huge. He was looking bigger, looking stronger, getting around the ground, and obviously had a nice score to go with it. But with the 37 hitouts that he had, that's, you know, we've still got to see it against some of the better tap ruckmen in the league as well, don't we?
Yeah. Do we know what the split was in when he got those 37?
That'd be nice.
Because I think Lysette was doing okay, right?
Lysette had 10 in his 45%. Time on ground.
Okay, maybe he wasn't doing so good. Mm. So, look, I think there's enough there to want to back Tim English in this year. Yep.
But he couldn't... But he got injured early in the piece, I think, Lysette.
Yeah, he did.
He had an ankle complaint or something, so he... Yeah.
It was still 45%, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, he played, like, half the game, basically.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like...
So, 10 hitouts in half a game is pretty awful.
Anyway, we've.
But if you can't jump,
yeah, I know he's not a great tap ruckman anyway. So it's going to be interesting to see how high people are willing to take Tim English. I'm sort of happy where I had him. I was pretty high on him anyway. So just to see that performance was, you know, warranting the rank there. Bailey Williams, gotta give him a shout out. Did look improved and was fantastic in this game, and surely holds his spot. Was intercepting all over the place, getting 1-2s. He actually did look awesome. What do you guys think on Bailey Williams? Maybe not so much for himself, but I mean, in that backline dynamic, does it bring concerns for anyone else? Maybe a Caleb Daniel, something like that. Caleb Daniel didn't score well in this game. I'm not too concerned, but any thoughts on Bailey Williams? What a game.
Cam McCarthy played well this week too, Dossie, so...
Come on, boys. That was a big game. He turned up in Supercoach, 90 in AFL Fantasy. All right, the other thing I want to just talk about, I want to talk West off. I'm actually coming around to the idea of the Hoff being that 5-10 hit-out guy and possibly bringing back some value this season. You guys on board the Hoff train? I mean, it's not Latham's season just yet, Steve, but what about Hoff? I mean, if it is a Lysette situation, solo Lysette, he'll have to get a chop out. And the Hoff showed some big signs in this one, being back to that dude that, you know, we know he can be if he plays in that sort of midfield ruck role.
Yeah, I mean, you could do worse, I'm sure. It's a good point. Look, they do need a chop out. So he probably is a very versatile player, Westhoff. So I think they're probably going to give Todd Marshall every chance this year. So, yeah, look, he could do worse. Yeah.
And Dan Houston did nothing to lower the hype that he had this preseason. All right, West Coast Fremantle. Steve, you want to take us through your notes on that one?
Yeah, so a bit of a mark fest this game. Just playing a lot of keepings off here. West Coast were ranked 17th for disposals last season. They had 411 in this game, so great signs that they can actually lift. And we sort of were talking about who's going to miss out from the Eagles with the Tim Kelly arrival. Looks like Jack Redden. We've seen that happen before, but he still scored well. And maybe if they can get more of the ball, they were a very high mark team. They had the highest disposal to mark ratio in the league by a long way last year. So if they can maybe just lift the disposals, they'll be, you know, maybe they won't suffer, sort of thing, if that makes sense. Cam McCarthy, like I mentioned, did get some wing time, but Aish and Ryan were out, so not sure how much I'd read into that. Brayshaw's season is not slowing down at all. He'll be going in the back of the second before too long. Nick Nat scored 100 Supercoach in 58% TOG. We've seen this before. They aren't going to give him 80% game time. So you can forget about that. And can Sean fucking Darcy go a week without injuring himself in like the first fucking quarter. There's only one word for that man, and it is oaf.
Are you done, Steve? You don't want to talk about Lachie Schultz?
I think that dude made it into like my salary cap team.
I think he's real cheap in Super Coach. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. He's freaking. I don't mind him. Bit of Tom. I think he's got Tom Papley. Bit of Tom Papley about him. Just that sort of energy, little nugget kind of style. I don't mind him as that. You know, that late forward pick. Pretty coming around to Lachie Schultz season.
I can't see Fremantle being very competitive this year.
Yeah.
So I'm not about a Fremantle forward.
Stephen Hill, the injury news came through on him, so probably yeah. avoid there once yeah. again. Any interest in Darcy Tucker quickly, Steve, available as a forward?
I do, actually. I do, because I see quite a lot. Like we've spoken about so much disposals have left that team out on the wings, and I don't see why Tucker can't do it. I mean, he certainly played a lot of midfield last year.
Hmm.
What his upside is questionable, but I, you know, people are taking shots at guys like Adam Chera. I'm perfectly happy taking a shot at a guy like Darcy Tucker at the arse end of the draft.
Speaking of Chera, I know you liked what he looked like last week. Are you a bit cooler on him now? I mean, he didn't score as well, obviously, but you said he looked classy last week. Is that going to convert to scores? Didn't in this one, but what are your thoughts on him this season?
Yeah, look, I sort of moved him into like... like D46 sort of thing. That's where I moved him to. I was super cool on Chera at the start of the year, despite liking him as a player. I'm cagey about what the scores are going to look like. I'm cagey about what the role looks like. Like him as a player, I think he's a great keeper long term. Not sure he's going to be, you know, he's just a lottery ticket this year for mine.
Yeah. GWS Richmond, Cam, take us through.
Yeah, I think something that is continuing from last year is that the Tigers are just not going to be a fantasy-friendly team. I find it so funny that a team can score 95 points, like real points, and only have one player ton from a fantasy perspective. It's just, they just seem to move the ball without touching it or disposing it, and therefore they don't rack up any sort of score. And so if you're looking for consistent scorers for your team, I'd be putting a line through Richmond players, to be honest. I just can't see a consistent score across any line of their field besides Dustin Martin and potentially Prestia. Jaden Short should have been brilliant this year.
Boston?
Yeah, in your super coach, but even like Short and Hooley should have been good, right? They weren't. The scores are just dry, and I don't get it. GWS, it's unclear if it's going to be a trend as well with Richmond, but one to keep a watch on is teams seem to be scoring pretty big on Richmond. Again, Marsh series, people missing, blah, 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 blah. Pius had 4 tons and 2 in the 90s in Marsh game 1, and GWS dropped 8 tons on them in Marsh
game 2.
This
isn't new, though.
No, it's not new. That's a continuing trend as well.
It's also two of the high-scoring teams, like GWS and Collingwood are two of the high-scoring teams. But, yeah, point taken, though, anyway.
Yeah, that's what I was sort of saying. Like, I don't know if it's going to be a trend or if it's just the way that GWS and Collingwood are playing this year. The other thing, a lot of people talking about Tom Green versus Hatley or Haitley. And actually, I think it's probably both in the absence of Taranto. I think Haitley's going to be fine. He's going to take up that Tomlinson-type role with a little bit of, you know, stints on ball. Tom Green will probably get a really early opportunity as well. More on ball than anything else. Probably lower game time or time on ground. Haitley, I think, is going to be a great bench mid. A really decent pick at the end of your draft.
Does it also kind of excite you a bit more with, you know, as a later pick as well, or as a bench stash for Callan Ward, if he comes back in round 4 or 5 or whatever, you've got a solid 5-week run. He's probably going to be actually, you know, solidly in the midfield. I mean, you know, again, it's a risk, but at least he's going to be playing twos, you'd expect. He admitted that he had a setback with his knee. He's looking on track now. So does that sort of, with the Taranto injury, sort of put a bit more safety in a Callan Ward stash, if you will?
Oh, absolutely. And for the guys that are taking the spots, you know, you've got a pretty, you know, finite window for when you need to be selling high. So it's sort of, you're probably looking around your round 5 to maybe offload someone like Hatley for a more consistent 85 to 90 scorer for when the pending Taranto returns.
I think we stick with Hatley on that one too, Cam.
Hatley? Would you say
thanks,
Hatley?
Thanks, Dato.
Yeah.
Perryman, what are your thoughts on Perryman? I'm sort of super keen, especially in Ultimate, where he's got the Defender status.
Yeah, it's only Ultimate for me. Like, he may actually get Defender status anyway. Like, round six rolls around, he could be a pretty good chance for it. But otherwise, it's probably a no in your AFL fantasy format for me.
Really? Because there's a lot of... there's a bit of open wing time out there. Like, he could score pretty well.
Yeah, he can. And look, he ended up on the 91 AFL fantasy in this game, but I just don't think he'll be consistently around that mark. In the first game, he was much less than that.
I will say keeper watch as well. I reckon Stato's been on this kid for quite some time now, but Isaac Cumming, great points per minute. Obviously, without Zach Williams in the side, though, we do have to be aware of that, of course. But he was racking up, you know, 100. He turned up in both formats in 60% time on ground. Very similar, great scoring in the first game, Marsh game as well. So, I mean, you know, have we heard much about Zach Williams? Is he expected to come back soon? I mean, otherwise he'd be one that I'd also consider for your single season leagues as a late flyer if he's scoring this well. But the time on ground, you know, he's certainly not been getting that in the Marsh series.
Yeah, I think he's looked really good, to be honest. And yeah, Statham's been calling for it for, what, 2 years straight. And as far as, you know, injury goes to Zilliams, the injury list that came out today, he's not even on it.
Yeah, right, okay.
So he could be.
Yeah, it was more awareness sort of thing, I think.
So he'll be fine. Okay, on to the Pies-Saints game, and I'll take you through just a few notes here. Now, I actually just got a message from a mate after this game in a little fantasy chat, and it read, "Are we sure Dunstan is shit? Lads, are we sure are we sure Dunstan's shit, or is he okay? I fear the Gresham... destroys his sort of big mid minutes. I reckon Gresham's going to be playing as a pure inside mid, but we actually didn't see Gresham or Seb Ross in this game, so very hard to tell what was going on. It did help Josh Battle get a late inclusion into the game and actually played well. Unfortunately, the fact he wasn't in the side to start with probably doesn't bode too well for my prediction in the draft kit that we did as a late selection, but he actually looked really good. Another that, you know, I'd be, you know, with my last selection in the draft, I'd actually be watching him on the waiver wire. I think Josh Battle, if he doesn't play early, just keep an eye out. I think at some stage this year, he actually is going to provide value off your waiver, but that's still a few weeks away, I think. Was there anything you guys noticed from a scoring perspective? Because Ben Long was probably the other one that stood out as actually like looking pretty good in this game, but I do think it's more of a flash in the pan. I don't know if you guys saw any of this game, but
yeah,
he was using the ball well off half back and actually looked pretty good. Scored 89 fantasy, 85 super coach, but not taking too much out of that, are we, boys?
I found it really hard to get a gauge on pretty much anything in this game because you are missing Seb Ross and you're missing Gresham from that midfield.
Correct.
So Dunstan probably negates that score a little bit. Ben Long, you're missing your Webster and your Savage, so it probably negates that a little bit. And then from a Pies perspective, Taylor Adams got injured. So
again.
Yeah, and you're without Treloar.
And
so
Pendle's played half a game. It was very a twos game. I must admit I tuned out a bit in this one. But but yeah.
And Marshall, speaking of twos, is he ruck two?
Well, he started at full forward, and again, in the pre-game chat, Ratton came out once again just banging that home. Yep, they'll be 50-50. We'll see who's playing where. They'll be switched up based on matchups. It's all gross. Like, it's all gross.
Yikes.
For Rowan Marshall. I think Steve's on point in that he'll still be able to score okay when he's up forward, but I mean, you know, he dropped 50s in this one. The ruck time is just going to be split. It's going to be matchup dependent. I don't want a piece of where he's going to be drafted this year at all. One player from Collingwood.
Can I just say on Dunstan? Dunstan's not shit. Dunstan scores when he plays. It's just he's not, you know, the guy.
I know. He's a Jed Anderson.
No, he's better than Jed Anderson.
Is he the David Swallow?
He scores better than Jed Anderson. He scores better than
all
those
guys.
How
does he get 70% time on ground without Seb Ross and Gresham? Just don't get it.
You should get 69.
One player from Collingwood, Jeremy Howe. Have you guys been on him this preseason? I think you've both Have you been on a bounce back, Steve? You're the former Pies man, now lifelong Suns fan. Jeremy Howe, what are you seeing him this season?
Yeah, I thought he was a good chance.
I think there's actually...
Yeah, I mean, there was a sort of a thing, like, I think Statesman raised it, like, he didn't score as well with Darcy Moore back there, and that was probably true, but they both turned up through the finals, so I think there can be enough to go around. So I think he's a great flyer.
Mm. It's funny.
Sort of an afterthought player.
Two kind of guys that are afterthought players this season in fantasy that actually both featured in that bushfire relief game, to be honest, is Jeremy Howe, and the other guy that Cam might touch on in one of the games later, Zach Tui, both of them looking far better and a chance for a bounce back this preseason. All right, I think Taylor Adams should be fine with that injury. He didn't seem too concerned about it, but just keep an eye on that as well coming into draft.
The only concern with that one is it's an adductor injury.
Yeah.
And remember what held him out for so long last year? An adductor injury. So, you know, potential recurrence.
All right, well...
groins hang around.
Sure do.
Yeah.
I'll have a skip. We'll come back to the Blues Lions game to give my voice a rest, and we'll go to Kangas Swans. Steve, I think you checked this one out.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I'm just still waiting on my pick in this draft. It has been mid-city. Like, holy shit. And that's where the problem is. Drafting Grundy 1 hurts you is you're looking at Matty Crouch M1. Okay, bad times. It is Rowbottom season, though, 18 CBAs. And Ollie Florent was in there all the time as well. Didn't translate to a score for Ollie, but sort of that was sort of what we saw happen last year. So, you know, Rowbottom's got the forward status. He's certainly worth a flyer. Maybe, I think, Dossie, you flag, maybe it's next year for a guy like him. But
who's that, sorry?
You could do worse than Rowbottom.
I think what we, Cam and I were thinking a Rowbottom breakout was this year, and also we were sort of looking at a Chase Jones without any evidence. Chase Jones is out of the picture now for us both. He plummeted. Yeah. Rowbottom for me, I've stayed pretty strong with him. I think Cam, you were super hot on Rowbottom. I was sort of a little bit lower, but yeah, nothing's swayed me from Rowbottom. Even though he scored poorly in March 1, he looked good. He passed the eye test for sure, and scores followed up in this game.
Yeah, 9 tackles. You got to love it. 9 tackles in a preseason game? Holy hell. Ben Cunnington, only 42% time on ground. We know he's had a limited preseason. So there was a lot of midfield time up for grabs. Sean Higgins got the bulk of it. Jai Simpkin got a hell of a lot. They both scored. I mean, Higgins scored really well. Simpkin scored okay. Whoever the fuck Curtis Taylor is, he's had a really solid preseason. Probably a salary cap pick. I've never heard of the bloke. Quite frankly, it's a terrible name, Curtis. What's going on with that? Sorry to all the Curtises out there. We had an Aaron Hall sighting, guys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. When it's draft day and you're 10 stubbies deep, it's round 20, and Aaron Hall's name pops up. Tell me anyone's going to be able to hold back.
No.
I'm getting around.
He actually looked all right. Yeah. He looked pretty good. Like,
I'm all about it.
Disposal efficiency, man. Disposal efficiency of 94%. Aaron Hall.
Living that Aaron Hall life.
I missed the news he was playing, to be honest. I checked the stats and I was like, Aaron Hall, he's back. Oh, that's awesome. Get around him.
If there was a Tasmanian team, he should be the inaugural captain. And your boy, Jordan Dawson, certainly not my boy. Back to Earth.
Yeah. Was he playing halfback purely Lloyd in this and game Mills. Too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, a lot of Mills, a lot of Lloyd. They had about 50 touches between them, so...
I've actually been saying it's Callum Mills' breakout season this year. That's what I've been harping on about.
He was pretty good in Supercoach last year, Mills. I think I got him as a D3 in Supercoach. JPK just absolutely nutted it out in a lovely 69% TOG. He's going in like the fifth round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He averaged a friggin' 100 in Dream Team last year.
Now, something I know a listener question's coming later about this, and I can probably just answer it now. I think somebody's going to ask about what our worst projection in our draft kit was this year, and for me, I'm pretty sure I'm going to have to look at it later. JPK's I think I've done him real dirty this year. He's who else is going to get their ball in there? It's JPK season.
Absolutely. You're only as good as your last game, Dossie. 150. 150.
Yeah. All right. Is that pretty much the takeaways here? I know there was a few late forward flyers, like guys like Jai Simpkin. I mean, he performed pretty well in here. Is anyone of interest on the north side of things, Steve, for you?
Yeah, I'm okay in Jai Simpkin, especially in the Supercoach. Very very contested player. They're just a team I just don't want a bar of. I'd be real cagey. Like, even their hashtag stars, like Zeeble and Cunnington, they've had like no preseason. Like, you can't draft these guys. Like, Zeeble's like the most up, like, he's like a key forward, the way he's up and down.
Yeah.
So.
Harry Cunningham, just about donuts on quarter time. That's why he's not in the draft kit, folks.
Finished with 69. More than Jordan Dawson. How can he score with Harry sucking up all that ball?
Yeah, that's true. I think I had one more thing on that, but we'll just move on to the next game. Cats, Bombers. Cam can't wait to talk about some Cats. Let's hear it, Cam.
Okay. So Cats, Carlton. Jack Stephen, there was a little bit of hesitation, I think, about what his role was going to be, but it was pretty much confirmed from the opening bounce that he will be cemented in that midfield. Even when Selwood and Duncan return over the next few weeks, he'll still be in there. He pumped out a pretty juicy 1.2 points per minute and ended on a score of 90, which was very, very handy indeed. Both teams were terrible to watch. It was actually a really awful game to watch in general. Something that really personified what the game was like. Kyle Langford did this beautiful no-look handball and just placed it straight on the chest of Patrick Dangerfield. It was a magical play from both teams and really personified the accuracy of both teams' disposals. Jordan Ridley looks awesome. Like, really, really good. And he does this, he did it last year as well in the Marsh series, and then he didn't get a game pretty much for the entire year. But he looked awesome across this Marsh series, and I reckon he's probably going to be lining up as that sort of last line of defense. And he gets a whole bunch of plus sixes from your AFL fantasy format perspective in their switch heavy game plan. They just constantly go to through him for every switch, which is looking really good from a scoring perspective. Tom Cutler can get in the bin. Jacob Townsend can get in the bin. Andy McGrath actually put together a really complete game, like great stats across the board. It was something like 5 tackles, 32 or 33 disposals. Really handy kick-to-handball ratio for the game. And, you know, with the news coming in that Heppel is going to miss at least the first game of the season, but secret sources tell me that's potentially up to the bye. Maybe Andy McGrath is someone who's actually going to have a pretty good year if he's got the role. And Gary Ablett is old, is the final thing. He is very old.
That's a very good point.
He looked his age. He looked awful. He get in the bin. I reckon by round 5, he's going to be rested and managed. And telling, we may never see him
telling
again.
The GOAT to get in the bin. How about that from Cam?
The GOAT bin.
Wild scenes.
Andy McGrath, attending CBAs is probably the biggest point as well out of that, isn't it? I mean, he's up there for the CBAs. Are you sold on Andy McGhost this season, Stevie Fizz?
Oh, he's certainly worth a flyer. Certainly worth a flyer. The bad signs of it are Darcy Parrish, like, bang, bang, and he took 3 goals to get to, like, 80-something. That is bad juju, man.
Is that just they're not giving him the role?
He didn't have it this week. Had it last week, have it this week.
What I found so bizarre, right, is last year he didn't have the role, and then it's like they gave it to him, and 2 weeks later he signed a new contract, and then they've taken it away again.
Yeah.
Oh, it's pretty harsh. Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
No mention. A big salary cap hyper here and for your super coach teams. What about the BZT?
What's his number? What's his number?
BZT 30.
BZT 30. Get around it.
Actually, any love for there, Cam? What did you see out of him? I haven't seen a heap of the Bombers this preseason, so you'll have to fill me in on the hype. Yeah.
He was good against. He marked up on Tommy Hawkins a fair bit, and he's going to get exposed at times because, like, there were a lot of times where he was playing in front of the forward, which could be bad signs for a key defender. But man, he was getting intercepts. He sort of worked really well off Hawkins. There's a good chance that for your salary cappers out there, he's going to be quite good. Questionable what happens when someone like who's sitting out at the moment?
Hooker
and McKenna come back into that.
Yeah,
defense.
I think Hooker's weeks away still. I think that came out recent hip surgery or something. Still a few weeks away.
Yeah, right.
If he stands up, they could always play Hooker forward. They've done that before.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they are short on forwards.
What I would say, just what bodes well for him as well, is their game plan's just completely predicated on getting those intercepts and handing to Saad and McKenna. So, I mean, if he's good at that one skill, which it clearly seems like he is, then, you know, he's going to be stuck in there for a bit longer. All right.
And just a quick final thing as well. Finally got some info on Duncan and what he's doing. So, he's actually hoping to play in the VFL this week in a bid to play round one. So he's around the mark.
Wow, that's pretty good news heading into drafts. Hopefully you're having your draft this week and see how it goes. Okay, we'll get to the Brisbane-Carlton game. I watched this one. What I would say, just on Carlton quickly, just did not look good and seemed to be cruising a bit despite having not achieved absolutely anything yet. You know what I mean? It seems like they've had a semi-okay trade period, even though they sort of missed on a few guys, but they seem just content a bit in the preseason. So I hope that kicks into gear. I hope that's just the personalities and not how they're going to come out very lackadaisical in the preseason. But I will say a few names stood out. Of course, Jack Martin's still looking solid. I kind of wanted a full run though. Like he played low time on ground in both Marsh games. It would have been nicer to see him ramp that up a bit. So scoring well in low time on ground, though, of course, very nice. Doherty looked like vintage Doherty at times and just been really impressed with him. We said he started very slowly last week, and if he can improve like this from week one to week two, I'm very optimistic for his season going forward. So hopefully he can have an awesome year. He scored a ton in Supercoach in his second game back and 87 in AFL Fantasy. So pretty keen on the Doc again this season and sort of happy with where I've got him, pretty high in my rank still. I mean, Nick Newman, I saw a few messages in the group chat, a bit worried about Newman. Cam, was that you? I mean, he came out and did okay in the end. I just still don't mind drafting him, but I think he might go a bit earlier than maybe where I'd be happy. Certainly expecting a slight dip with Doc back in the side, seeing how good Doc is now.
Yeah. I mean, he'll regress a little bit. He's certainly not going to be a 93 average defender, and he'll probably still go around that mark in draft. And so that's too expensive, I think, for me.
I don't want a piece of Cade, though, personally. I'm not about,
I don't think
I'm
anyone
not about
should.
The Cade life. I've seen him still gone relatively early in drafts I've had so far, as in early for where I think that he should be going. So now, Brisbane, on the other side of things, they've messed me about a bit this preseason. I don't think they didn't show their true hand at all. I know a few teams did. Plenty didn't. A lot of guys just played limited time on ground. You had Jared Lyons with about 70%, Hugh McCluggage 74%, Jared Berry 71%. And Rayner actually scored pretty well in 67%. A lot of guys just 60 and 70% time on ground. It's just hard to know, you know, if there is going to be much change there. Obviously, Cam Ellis-Prusman didn't get a gig. So that's certainly becoming a thing this season, as predicted. I am big on the Hugh McCluggage next step, though. He's looking amazing. I think he actually will get that more inside mid that we're hoping for. It's just a matter of fact of if that does indeed happen, because I saw in Marsh 1, he had it for the first half of the game, second half didn't really have it. Didn't track the CBAs in this one, but certainly was a feature in there in top four, I think, for Brisbane. But with Lyons not playing a full, you know, full 80 to 90% game, you know, does that change in the real thing? Steve, what do you think on the Clug?
Yeah, no, I'm all aboard. Lyons had 21, McCluggage had 14. Neil had 19. It was Zorko who missed out with 11. So still a lot.
I think the Zork is an underrated DPP forward chance this year. I really do think he rolls forward quite a bit. I know he does come up into the midfield, but just keep an eye on the old Cheeky Zorks forward status midway through this year.
What do you think McCluggage is going to do? Because I can see, like, he's already at 100 in Supercoach, right? So he only has to go 10 points. It's not a huge leap. And you know, if you're getting inside time, that's theoretically contested possessions. He has to make a bigger jump to become elite in Dream Team. Do you think he's going to get to sort of the 110 range? Because, I mean, it's on the table.
Look, I do have a song coming out that makes some bold claims about how well he's going to be doing this year. So I don't know if I want to step on that material, but I'd say that my actual projections is slightly lower than those lofty heights. But yeah, I'd say in fantasy, like, I could see 100 plus this year. I think Supercoach a bit more, but for him to, like you're saying, I mean, the reason I'm so high is that his disposal count, despite being looking like such a good player, he only had about 22 touches last year. I can totally see him getting to 25 to 27 and still kicking that goal a game. In which case, then we could maybe see like 105 in AFL fantasy this year. Possibly. That's his sort of best case scenario. I don't know if I see that 110 yet, just with the guys that he's got around him at the moment.
Jeez, I think Clarkie's just posted a photo of his Moroccan pumpkin with cauliflower couscous, and it is, as you would say, Dossy Lush.
Beautiful. Just the name of that. He's surely in the league. Well, we'll probably have to announce that a bit later, though, Steve. When are you announcing the Listener League winners?
Today, but I'll be doing a little video because it's not actually today. It's Tuesday when we're recording this.
Perfect. Now, just one more player on Brisbane side. I know you're keen. You've been keen on him for a while, Stevie. And Jared Berry, you've been keen on where you've been picking him up in drafts. He tunned up in this game, 100 DT, 119 Supercoach in a limited time on ground, 71%. He showed ferocious tackling. I mean, he only laid the four, but he looked really well around the contest. Not getting centre bounces, I don't think, but just playing that sort of outside role, but really attacking it hard.
Yeah, and it's funny because when he came in, it was as an inside mid. And last year they shifted him to the wing. Hey, look, if McClugo goes inside, there's going to be a whole stack of outside ball. I think people really forget that he battled glandular fever at the start of last year. That's something that can linger, man. That can hang around. He's a talent. No doubt he's a talent. Before last season, he was scoring better than McCluggage. More tons, all that sort of stuff. So I think he's got a great pedigree. Absolutely got every chance to be an absolute steal in your draft. I think he's sort of like a, you know, you compare a Berry to like a Will Brody, right? You probably, you know, taking a flyer on both of them might be a bit much, but Berry's automatic best 22. Absolutely. Yeah. Whereas Brody's might have more upside, but is he in? Is he out? Who knows what's going on?
Yeah, he's more likely to end up on the wire than a Barry who's just locked into that 22. Yeah, it's a good point when you're risking that last sort of pick. Okay, I think that's pretty much all the games. Hey, guys, throughout the Marsh series, we sort of went through it last week. Is there any major players you've hashtag adjusted or any rankings regrets from Marsh 1 to Marsh 2 that maybe you sort of regret? You sort of jumped a bit higher, a bit low on those players. Steve, do you want to go first?
Look, I fell into the trap. I went with Hugh Greenwood probably a little bit too much. I was really cagey on him. I still like him. He's still a top 20, but I think I moved him up about five spots to about 14 or something, and I'm just not feeling that life. Doherty's probably one I could move up a few spots. I think he's really, like, he did nothing wrong in the first one other than shake off the cobwebs. So yeah. I don't mind that. I'd have to have a bit of a look, but yeah, he's probably one.
Cam, what about you?
Yeah. Mine, I dropped, even though he didn't play in Marsh 1, I dropped Jack Stephen a fair bit from where I had him originally. And I think he probably goes right back to where he was. What about you, Doss? Did you have any that you ranked maybe a little bit too high? And
nah, none that I can see. I think I'm in the clear. No, I was saying it was hot topic in the group chat. Dossie went a bit hard on HG3, old Hugh Greenwood. I think at the time my justification was I was much lower on a lot of these other guys around that region playing midfield time, and I've kind of actually cooled and gone the other way and think you know, maybe I've been a bit too harsh on guys like Devon Smith or even maybe a Jack Stephen on guys that are going to play midfield. I've put guys like, I have Gresham at 4, and I don't know if, I actually don't mind that still, to be honest. I think Gresham's going to have a huge, huge year, but it sucked not to see him in Marsh 2, so that's one I could regret. But I did put Greenwood, the knee-jerk, disgraceful reaction up to my third forward, which I'm sorry, everyone out there. At least I've got it out there now and I can really bring him back to earth. But he's one I really need to adjust ASAP. I bought the hype of midfield big scores and it was a poo-poo second round, that's for sure.
What do you guys think about, and I know I watched this game, didn't touch on it. What are your thoughts on Riley O'Brien? ROB 43.
I like that one.
Yeah, count it.
We've both been pretty high on him, Cam, haven't we? What do you think? I didn't catch this second Crows game. By the way, weird time. I was still at work, yeah. And I checked the AFL app just on the clock there. Sorry, boss. And yes, just saw it had started around like 4:15 at my local Noarlunga.
Yeah, strange, you know, things. What?
Right. And let's have a grand final rematch in the preseason as well, Gil. That's a great build up.
I don't know. Riley O'Brien, though. I took him in round 4 of my home league, and I'm regret at the moment. I am big regret.
Are you Rugret?
Doesn't look... Rugret. I do Rugret. Yeah. some Rugret. I just think he looked like the lumberer, which I swear he wasn't last year. Like, what's going on there? He just wasn't getting from contest to contest as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's worrying signs.
Yep.
So the eye test was just bad for the old Rob.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, his score wasn't terrible, was it? It was okay, but it just wasn't great.
Terrible, but it's not what you need.
It's not the score. It's not the score. It's getting touched up by Zach Smith. Man, that is
R4
rough.
Zach Smith.
That's seriously rough. He's bad.
Is there any Jared Witts news, by the way? Because, like, I mean, I've still kept him relatively high on my ranks, and it kind of helps that old Zach Smith's done well in the preseason in that role. But, you know, with how well he does he split time with Smith when he comes back? I don't see it, but just wondering.
Witts is expected to be fine, is the commentary in the latest injury report. I don't know what that means. Mm. Expected to be fine.
Tough times. Yeah. Tim English season.
Yeah. Questions.
Tenglish, round 3. All right, we'll get on to the listener questions. You can hit us up at The Draft Doctors on Twitter or find us on Facebook and Instagram. Steve's a frequent user of the Instagram now. He posts regular content up there, so check that out.
Someone made me down. These guys, we're doing. So I'm in this draft with the Supercoach Insider guys. They made me download WhatsApp. What the fuck is this?
WhatsApp's awesome.
Group chat. Group chat city.
Yeah.
I don't need this. But... I don't need this in my life. It's okay, too so much. One of them's not even here. One of them's not even here for the draft. We've been waiting on this pick for like, it seems like a while.
Strampels. While we wait for the next pick, we will hit up the questions at The Draft Doctors on Twitter. Excuse me. Damo. At Damo. SC, whose predicted average for either format would you change from your draft kit? Now, this is the question that I was talking about before. I think JPK for me, I might just have a quick look in the draft kit available on thedraftdoctors.com.au. Steve or Cam, do you have one that you rank Gret?
Probably quicker to talk about the ones we wouldn't change. Jacob Hopp is the one, and that's just because it's Rano.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously.
For mine, I think Andy McGrath. I think it was a little bit of how it woofed. That came out really well.
Yeah, JPK, I had 92 to 96 in AFL Fantasy was my projected average there. 95 to 99 in Supercoach. Bit of regression, although he's just been, as Steve said, banging those 150s recently. So, could be the 16th year breakout.
I still think... I still think that's fine. Like, it's not that much of a regression.
It's probably not as bad as I originally went. I think I've saved myself there. All right. Well, Clarky. Oh, did you have one, Cam? Oh, you Andy McGhost. Okay, Clarky at NFL and AFL. Most consistent forward out of Devon, Walters, Green, and Heaney. And he says, he just corrects himself. Sorry, as in, who do you think will be the most consistent across the season? So that's out of Devin Smith, Michael Walters, Toby Green, or Isaac Heaney.
Devin.
Yeah, if healthy. Devin for me.
Yeah, if healthy.
I didn't say he'd be the best. I said he'd be the most consistent.
Oh, good point. Okay, at RFC Premiers 2017... Which nervous Nelly players will benefit from the empty stadiums and which big game players will suffer from the empty stadiums as a result, he's talking about, of the coronavirus? Now, Steve, you're a big fan of this question. Do you have a nice answer for that one?
No, I only know because it's one of my league mates. So.
Is it Paddy Dow season?
It can't be good news for Danger. Has to be bad times for Danger. He will never go down with a fake injury again.
Yeah, I don't mind this tweet, actually. Joey King tweet responds, Jack Darling Coleman medal.
Oh, that's a good take.
Yeah. All right, at Jakey the Mac, any news on what's going on with Braden Fill-In Sire? Would have thought he'd be in line with no Beams, Adams, and Treloar early. It looks like... Wills has got that time in the preseason, but there has been an injury, has there not, Cam?
Yeah, it was a concussion, I think, in March 1. And
no,
so
it was,
oh,
no, it was in the...
In a yeah, intra.
Yeah. No, intra. No. Against Carlton. Yeah. Yeah, so
yeah,
intra.
Okay.
Inter?
Yeah. And so he ended up... Inter.
Integer.
Integral.
Intra club. Intra.
Yeah, so he had a concussion. Yeah. I kind of expected him to come back in March 2, and then he didn't. And who knows?
Could be super value if it all comes together. I mean, we know what he can do in limited time. I'm still gonna flash back to the West Coast Collingwood granny. He had about 20 touches in half a game, and any time he got near the ball, this is when the Pies were sort of doing a bit of damage too. I was just like, get it all. I knew he was going to win the footy. He's a ball magnet at his best, so hopefully he can come back to his best.
He's like shit Will Brody. Well, I mean, not shit, but bad scoring Will Brody.
I'm really excited that Steve's got this whole new measuring stick of just comparing people to Will Brody. I think it's very interesting.
My goodness.
Okay, at Kano.
Well, I cut Will Brody from my keeper team finally, so no doubt this is the fucking year.
Oh, this is the year. At Kano Gem, does Luke Ryan have coronavirus or can I safely start him? Need a doctor's opinion. We are the draft doctors. Apparently, it's not him that has it. It's, no one officially has it, mind you, that somebody got tested for it. So,
is that
Steve,
right,
you're,
Sam?
Steve,
McClure.
You're the conspiracy man. No, we'll move on. He'll be fine. At Visolate, as a beginner drafter, how do I approach buy rounds on? Do you actively try draft an even spread of buy rounds or just worry about that later and utilize the free agents? Cheers.
Yeah, I don't give it any thought.
Yep.
Yeah, me neither.
Zero thought.
Should we be giving it thought?
No.
It adds too much complexity, right? Just pick the best player in your tiers available.
This is going to amaze, especially to a newer player, this might amaze you, but if you say draft 20 players, you will probably cut like 6 or 7 of them before you even hit the buy rounds. The person you've got lined up in the buy... So you don't know who you've got lined up in the buy rounds, what their team structure looks like. All three buy rounds, their guys could... They could have heaps of guys missing. Or they could have full teams. You don't know. So I wouldn't give it a thought. You never know what your team's going to look like by then.
At Bego9880... Thoughts on Lukosius and Bewley? We sort of touched on Lukosius a bit, but what about Brett Bewley of Freo? Cam, you've got a little bit of a smushy face there thinking about Brett Bewley.
Yeah, look, I mean, Fife came out and hyped him earlier in the preseason, then he's come out and dropped 260 burgers. Kind of looks a little bit average, to be honest. And I expected him to maybe score a little bit better with Akers out of the team, but he just didn't. I saw a tweet a long time ago. I can't remember who it was from. But they basically said, what makes you think that Bewley can go from a, you know, paltry 30 to 40 point scorer to a massively super coach and fantasy relevant player this year, even with just role, considering he was doing basically the same thing last year. And I'm starting to believe that. I just don't think he can.
Okay. At Bob Boylan, does McAvoy play ruck at all this year, or is he going to be stuck in defense? Also, does Duncan play round one? We mentioned Duncan before. Excuse me again. McAvoy, what are your thoughts on him? Cam, you sort of touched on it before.
Yeah, he doesn't look great in defense. But Segler, you know, hasn't really had a good shot at playing this number one ruck because he only played half a game against a ruck. So I guess we've still got to wait and see what happens there.
Yeah, I can't imagine that. I mean, this is a crystal ball question. We can't really predict what the team setup looks like going forward. Jeez, Dossie, what are you doing? You can't really say. I'd say he probably will at some point, but again, who knows? Yeah.
James Reed at Fake James Reed. If the rookie situation is worst case scenario when teams drop, do you go mega mid price or name some likely rookies and cop some early donuts? Steve, you're a salary cap man now. You're a salary cap man now, Steve, on the tweet. What do you think on this one?
Yeah, no, it's... I'd ask Warney. I'd ask Warney or Chizo. That's all I do is just ask those two guys because I don't know a goddamn thing. At salary cap. Come on, James, get it together. It's in our title.
At the Fossil 2, is it Chris Mayne season? Looks super good, racking up plus sixes. And last year, two injury-affected games brought his average down. Chris Mayne season. It's on again. No more
it's
no
never,
comments.
It's never not Chris Mayne season.
Okay.
Just play him whenever he plays Richmond, because that is a guaranteed ton. But Pies, mark-heavy system, yep, you could do worse in the Dream Team format.
At Joel Horse 5, got picks 4 and 25 in a 14-team league. 6-5-1-6, snake draft, in brackets, ultimate. I'm hoping to get Whitfield and Crisp there, but worried it might be risky. I'll miss out on all the premium 100-plus mids. Hoping I can then potentially get value in Langdon and Viney later on, though. Worth it. So he's talking about punting mids early, which we haven't been a fan of, but then trying to get value out of guys like Langdon and Viney. I mean, Viney, we think might bounce back a little bit by the sounds of things, but you guys, I'd assume you're not a huge fan of doing this. Steve, what are your thoughts?
What pick was it and how many teams?
Pick 4 and 25, 14 team league, 6-5-1-6 snake.
So what's your third round pick? Like 36 or something? Cam, you got better maths than me.
I tuned out because the question was so long. But
it's like, yeah, I'd really worry, man. Like, I saw a team today, and not to throw anyone under the bus, and they'd gone ruck, forward, defender from the one hole because all the mids were gone, and their mid one is Hopper, and like, and that's oof. Like not to be like that's fine. Like if all the good players are gone, and you're taking the guys you think are best available, and they're going to help you win your league, and that's all you can do. You can do that, but my God, it is so risky. I couldn't do it myself.
Yeah. It's so contingent on you getting the guys that you think are going to be value there as well. Like, imagine Viney and Langdon go a pick or two before you. You are completely fucked.
Yeah. Yeah.
At Dr. Beardface 33. Sorry, Steve, you final answer on that. You're not a fan.
No, sorry to just keep dragging on. My question is, how much better is Crisp going to be than another one of those defenders like that that you might be able to get in the third round? That's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah,
weigh that up.
At Dr. Beardface 33, 8-team Supercoach draft coming up on Saturday. If you had a pick from 3 to 6, would you move back to 8 to 9 instead? So trading picks here we're talking about. I see Grundy and McRae as 1-2, then a big group of players without huge difference I like after that. Love your work as always, guys. And he says, captain's on and 5-7-1-5-4.
I'd maybe do it from pick 5 onwards. I think there's still good value in pick 3 and 4.
Five's interesting. I'm sort of wondering who you're going to get in the third round at this point, to be honest, because there's good players still available, at, like pick 15. So
yeah,
I think I've got a sort of clear top 15. So yeah, you could go wherever.
At Graham Bruce 28.
It's an 8-team league. Every team's going to be totally stacked. Like, I'd probably want... I think you could go two mids and maybe hope to squeeze Dusty or Lloyd in the third, maybe.
Graham asks, why doesn't anyone talk about Gold Coast's Ben Ainsworth? And then he's got the shush emojis three times in a row, yet he's trying to let everyone know, why is not anyone talking about Ben Ainsworth?
Because he's a small forward in a bad team. And plays perma forward, unlike McPherson, who can roam up.
At Dino0346, with our draft day completed, I've selected Andrew Phillips and Patton on the pine for a backup ruck to Rob, or ROB43. I'm very keen on Rowbottom, who is still on the player market. I'm willing to give up Phillips or Patton. Is Rowbottom worth it? Oh yeah, Rowbutt. All day.
Get
on the
in
butt.
There.
Absolutely.
Sorry, one more time, Doss.
Get
on the butt.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Absolutely. That's a terrible pun. All right, we'll finish there with that. And anything else, Stevie Fizz, keep an eye out for the video on humor cluggage that we'll be dropping probably tomorrow.
Yeah, no, just have good fun in the giraffes. Hope everyone smashed it and, you know, whatever. Footy's back. Sorry, AFL Big M is back.
Woo!
Woo!
See you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors Podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.